do is I've got a teaching that I put together, preventing pressure from becoming stress. And I think that that's something we all deal with at some time or another. We're all going to have pressures. You know, I don't care who you are, what you are, but you're going to have pressure. But the thing is, we don't want it to become stress. We cannot allow it to become stress. And so this is just a fairly simple way to put it. But take your cares, your worries, and your concerns and put them in God's mailbox. Let Him take care of them instead of you worrying about them, you being concerned about them. And then I have that there are two common causes of stress, and they are what? The devil and the devil. That's the causes. Now, symptoms, the contributing factors, are indecision, procrastination, and diversion. But we'll get into those a little bit later on. But every good gift is from above. And so then if every good gift is from above, then where do all the bad things come from? The devil. And he doesn't have to rule in our lives. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Now, indecision. Who can give me an example of indecision? I'm telling you, if you guys don't have a problem with that, you're doing great. I'm sorry, go ahead.
A person that can't decide whether they want to do something one way or the other.
Exactly, exactly. It's being unable to make a decision as to how to do something. And it's in the scriptures I put down here, James 1:5. James 1:5 says, let every man ask of the Lord. You know, when you're seeking wisdom, let every man ask of the Lord who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. If you have a question or a challenge, something that you want met, take it to God. He'll give you the answers. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Who can tell me what that says? Anybody here? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Who's him? God. And he shall direct your paths. Now, why would I call procrastination playing hide and seek with your problems, your challenges? Any ideas? Exactly. It's easier to, if I've got two challenges in front of me, and the one's a crisis and the other one's kind of important, it's a lot easier to work on the kind of important than it is to take on the crisis. It's playing hide and seek with your problems. So rather than taking and addressing it head on, we're going to divert our attention to another area. Diversion is to allow anything to interrupt your focus or distract us from completing a task that we're working on until it's complete. It happens to me all the time. It happens to me a lot because I'll start out in my office in preparing this teaching and getting some things done, because something comes up here, and then something comes up there, and it's a whole lot easier to deal with this, and there's only one of me. And that's why diversion is one of the main three factors in causing stress. Now, if you turn it over, I like this picture on the inside. Is this how others see you? Who can identify with that picture? Anybody here? I can. A lot. A lot. Now I'll read that to you. It says, I'm a little stressed right now. Just turn around, leave quietly, and no one gets hurt. Just turn around, leave quietly, and nobody gets hurt. You ever have that kind of a morning before you have your first cup of coffee or before you whatever? We've got to take care of that. Pressure can become stress. And if we allow a problem to build to a point that we internalize it and allow it to govern a portion of our lives, stress kills. Give me an example of how stress can kill you. Okay. Now, can everybody hear Don when he's talking? Okay.
I got caught when I was in the military. between an officer and the enlisted men. And the enlisted men, I mean, the officer would tell me to go tell the enlisted men certain things to do that they didn't want to do. And they'd tell me to go tell that guy in a few cuss words. And this went on for about 3 months. And we came home for Christmas from Tula Greenland. And the next morning I ended up in the hospital bleeding from all of my parts.
Yeah.
I had a bleeding ulcer and everything else because of it. And the doctor came in, and this goes back to Gary. He says, "This is Christmas Day. Why are we here?" He says, "Whatever's happening to you is minor to what you should be doing. You
right.
should be home with your family, praising the Lord, and having a great Christmas."
Any other examples like that?
Psychosomatic illness.
Okay, explain that.
Your psychosomatic illness, when you are stressed, it affects the circulatory system, it affects the muscular system, I think they can hear me.
Gosh.
It affects everything. And that can cause illness. That kind of stress, it works on the body. So people need to stay relaxed and not allow, you can help yourself by thinking correctly, and that will, but you have to be aware of it.
Right. Think happy thoughts. That's the solution. But what happens if you get caught, like Margaret was talking about, or as Don was talking, when you allow these things, and they can sneak up on you. They can sneak up on you big time. And you don't realize it until it's too late. You know that stress is one of the leading causes for stroke and heart attack? We can't allow that in our lives. And then what's the way to get rid of it? Okay, the example that I have here is from 1 Samuel, and it's chapter 17, verse 45. Now, let me give you a little bit of the background on this. Anybody familiar with David? Okay, he was a shepherd, and what had happened is Samuel came to Jesse's home, and he said, "Jesse, I'm going to choose the next king from one of your sons." And so he lines up all seven of his sons, supposedly all seven of them, and God said no to every one of them. And so Samuel's sitting there scratching his head, and he's going, "What's going on? Jesse, do you have any more sons?" He said, "Well, yeah, I've got this little kid out in the taking care of the sheep, but you know, he doesn't amount to anything." But the thing is, he didn't even consider David when it came into bringing all of his sons, because the direction was from the Lord, bring all of your sons before Samuel. And from that, he was going to choose the next king. And they never even considered David. That's how low he was thought of in his own family. And I could give you some examples in my family. But the thing is, we can't look at that like that. Because one of the things David did was when David took on Goliath, can anybody know approximately how old he was when he fought Goliath?
14.
Probably, maybe just a little bit older than that, 16, maybe 17. But the point is, he was a kid, a runny-nosed little kid. The army of the Philistines and the Israel were battling. And when Goliath, and I could tell you stories about how tall he was and how I figured it out, but I won't. Goliath comes up and he says, "Well, look, I've got a real simple solution for this problem. Simple. You send a man out from among you," talking to Israel, "and I will come out and fight with him, and whoever wins, wins the war. You know, if your guy wins, then we'll all, you know, we'll be your servants. We'll be, you know, we'll give in to you. If I win, on the other hand, you give in to me." You know what the army of Israel did, including David's brothers, when Goliath issued these challenges, and he issued them for 40 days, every morning and every evening, they ran and hid. It took a teenager, a young man, who wasn't even thought of highly in his own family, let alone in his own culture, his own time, who went out there and with God's help took on Goliath and beat him. In other words, when we're overwhelmed, it's because we have not put God on the scales with us. You're on a scale. Life is a scale. When sometimes you feel like you're down and sometimes you're up, put God on the scale with you. Let him balance out your load and let him help you in the areas in which you need it. That's the best way to get over being overwhelmed. Know who you are. Now, this is important. This is very important. Because if I ask each and every one of you who you are, you might get a first name, you might get a last name, you might get all three of your names if you have a middle name. But how many of us see ourselves as a child of God? Excellent, excellent. That's what has to come out of your mouth and out of your brain first and foremost. I am a child of God. And with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Okay, and know whose we are. Who do you belong to? You are a child of God. That makes him your father. He's your father. 1 John 4:4, little children, ye are of God. You belong to him. Who do we belong to? God. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Because when you forget it, the devil's got you by the short hairs. And he'll wreck and ruin your life with everything. But when you remember whose you are and who you are as a child of God, then that wipes out, powers the devil in every situation. 1 John 3:1-2. Consider the incredible love that the Father has shown us in allowing us to be called the children of God. God has called you to be his children. There, when Jesus Christ was teaching people how to pray, there's a prayer that's very popular and well known, and it starts out with, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A lot of people want to pray that over and over and over again. I think the main thing that Jesus Christ was trying to teach them, that God is your father. He's your father. That's who you, and up until that time it had been Mr. God or Elohim or whatever. But we have and serve a living father and a God who cares for each and every one of us and who's called us to be his sons. The more people you're trying to please, the more stressed out you're going to be. Any examples of that? I think about Wilma when I think about, I'm always saying, honey, slow down, take it easy. And we need to have peace within our hearts and within our minds. When we have that peace that passes all understanding, then we're going to be just taken care of. The next key is take time to rest. One of the most key and important things we can do in life is take time to rest. In Mark 6:31, and Jesus Christ said to the apostles, come aside by yourselves to the desert place and rest a while, for there are many comings and goings, and they did not even have time to eat. You ever been in that kind of a situation where you don't even have time to stop for a bite to eat? You find yourself going so fast and working so hard and so furiously that you neglect the need that your body has and trying to take care of other people and other people's needs. I see Margaret back there smiling.
You're missing me.
Okay. Okay. Another thing, and then this came from a friend of mine, Reverend Bob Carden, and he said, if you're burning the candle at both ends, you're not as bright as you think. Now, he told me that 10, 15 years ago, and that saying has stuck with me over the years. And how many times do you get caught trying to burn the candle to both ends? Well, I'll put this fire out. No, I'll. And then you're not as bright as you think you are, because it's going to lead to stress, and stress kills. Make it a habit to get involved in personal prayer. And I've given several examples here. When Jesus Christ chose the 12 apostles, he went, well, let's see, first, eeny, meeny, mighty, moe. No, he didn't do that. The first thing he did was he spent a night praying and let God direct his paths. Let God direct him as to who this guy would be good, this guy. Pray, put God on the scale with you. Oh. When facing certain death, what did Jesus Christ do? He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. You know what the Garden of Gethsemane is? That's where they pressed olives. That was an olive garden. And Gethsemane means a place of pressure, because they would press the olives, and then from that they would extract the juice. That's where he went to pray all night. And he prayed three times, Father, if there's any other way to do this, remove this from me. Three times, if there's any other way to do this, God. Because he knew what was coming. He knew he was going to be crucified. He knew he was going to have to go through that. But he said, if there's any other way to do it, take it away from me. But there wasn't. So that's when he was facing certain death. And then down to 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares on him. Why? For he cares for you. For he cares for you. Who? Your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father. The guy that you call Father cares about you. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and he did what? Prayed. Start every day with prayer. And on the back, Wilma and I went to Topsail, North Carolina, and this was a picture I took one morning as the sun was rising, and it's a Topsail is an island in North Carolina, and I saw this sunrise, and I had to have a picture of it. So that's what the picture represents to me. Just a quiet time early in the morning. And then in John 14:27, this was Jesus Christ talking, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. What does the world give you? All kinds of Mickey Mouse, stress. But Jesus Christ said, but I give you peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be what? Troubled. In other words, don't worry about anything. Neither let it be afraid. Don't get caught up in fear. Well, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. I'm concerned about this. Philippians 4:6 from the Amplified Bible. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every situation and in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to who? Your boss, right? No, God, because he is able to take care of anything that you need. Just like we started out with prayer for these different people, God can take care of that. God can take care of that. And then here's one of the last things I want to leave you with. God has called us to be what? Super conquerors. You know, I had a friend that would say that, you know, with God, I'm equal to anything that the devil throws at me. Is that what it says here? Is that what the scripture teaches us? No, we're not equal to. Because equal means it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. God says we're more than conquerors in every situation. That means we overwhelmingly conquer every situation that we come into when we put God on the scales with us. When we remember to keep God first in the things that we do. God has called us to be super conquerors. And I'm not going to give you a Greek lesson, but it's hupernikeo is the Greek word for conqueror. And it just simply means more than a conqueror. It means well able to overcome anything that the devil throws at you. Take those pressures, the challenges that could become stress, and turn them over to God. Put them in God's mailbox. And then I like this composite picture. I found a couple of pictures and put them together and then put a scripture with it. And these kids are laughing. They're smiling. And it says in Proverbs 17:22a says, "A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing." Remember that. Whenever you're having a bad day, find something to laugh about. Find somebody to help. Find somebody to bless. Because there's always somebody out there who's having a tougher day than you're having. Find somebody to bless, and then take the time to laugh. Why? Because laughter is a medicine. It is healing in every way. Laugh often. I think about this joke. When I was ordained a number of years ago, I told this joke, and there was this guy out, he'd been watching too many Discovery Channels, and so he was out riding in his Land Rover and going around, and he saw all of these sheep on a hillside. And so he looked up the shepherd and he says, "Shepherd, I'll bet you I can tell you how many sheep you have on that hillside." The guy said, "Darn, you can? I'll take that bet." He said, "But now for the bet, I want one of your sheep." He said, "Well, okay, I'll take that bet." So the guy gets out his GPS system, Global Positioning Satellite System, and he starts taking pictures from the satellite and all this kind of stuff. And he comes back after about a half an hour and he says to the shepherd, "You have 1,284 sheep on the side of that hill." The shepherd went, "Darn, you're smart." And the guy said, "Yep, I sure am. I sure am." And then so he takes an animal and puts it in the back of his truck. And he gets ready to drive away, and the shepherd stops him and says, "Sir, for the smartest man I ever met, you sure are as dumb as a rock." The guy was insulted. "What do you mean I'm as dumb as a rock?" He said, "May I please have my dog back?" One of my brothers told me that. But the thing is, it's not about us. It's not about anything that we do or we claim to be. It's not about any titles that we have. It's about the God in Christ that lives within us. And it's about that love that we share with other people. It's about the joy that we bring into other people's lives. And if you aren't blessing people, then you're not living. You're not living life at all. And you're probably caught up in stress. But don't be. Well, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that we can come to you and put all of our cares and all of our stresses and strains in your mailbox and let you worry about them, because I can't deal with them. There are just times I run into a brick wall when I'm trying to deal with things. But I know that God can. And Father, I ask you for a particular blessing, a special blessing on each and every person here, upon the staff at Meadowlark, Father. And everybody from the dishwashers to the you name it to the residents, Father, that you bless and can and just keep a spiritual hedge of protection around this place, Father, around all the apartments, around all the people here, here. And Father, help us to get delivered and stay away from the coronavirus. Father, it has no right to be here because your kids are here. I don't care how old we are, we're still your kids. And Father, with the coronavirus has no right here. And we claim that hedge of protection in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that's it.
Sure glad you're back with us. We're back with you.
Oh, it feels good to be back. So God is still God. Don't forget to laugh. Laugh often.